and some longtime listeners and very wonderful people, Tom and Mary Bates, had a chance to see and hear Earl Dingus maybe 6 months ago or so. And they said, you really ought to try to have this gentleman join us. And it's wonderful that we are able to do that today. Earl is here with his wife, Lee. And throughout this hour, we're going to talk a bit about art. We're going to talk about education. We'll talk about jewelry. You'll hear some flute and some stories and learn more about American Indians that are here in our area and how you can learn more about the culture and understand some of the heritage that you may not be aware of. I'm going to turn it over to Earl right now, who's going to start with a story, and we'll learn more about both Earl and Lee throughout this hour.
Thank you. Many centuries back, Kanati, young hunter and friend, went into the mountains to hunt for game. Kanati's friend had much more experience hunting than Kanati and was able to go back to the village and be proud. Kanati had to remain in the mountains and continue hunting. As Kanati was walking through the mountains, he was trying to find something that he could take back to the village so that he could be proud. As he was walking, he started to grow tired, and it was starting to get dark. Kanati came upon a large rock. Next to rock, a stream. Next to stream, a tree. Kanati sat down next to the large rock, and as he was thinking of what he could bring back to the village, he happened to notice that Dalala, woodpecker, was in the branches of the tree. And he's sitting there listening to Dalala poking holes in the branches of the tree, and he's thinking and thinking. And as he was thinking, large wind came and passed through the branches of the tree. And when that happened, it produced many different sounds. And Kanati was listening to all the different sounds the wind was making as it passed through the tree. As he was listening and focusing on the different sounds, he started to grow more tired, and it was dark, and he had fallen asleep. And in his vision, Nyungwe Junsti, the little people, they came to him in his vision. And they said to Kanati, "Knock off one of the branches of the tree." Kanati cut off one of the branches of the tree, but he could not duplicate any of the sounds that he was hearing. Again, Kanati had fallen asleep. Nyungwe Junsti again came to him, and they said to him, "Put holes at both ends of branch." Kanati awoke, put holes at both ends of branch, and now when he tried to duplicate the sounds, it sounded like this. But Kanati was hearing many different sounds, many beautiful sounds, and he liked those sounds as well, and he tried very hard to duplicate those sounds, but he was unable to. Kanati again had fallen asleep. Nyungwe Junsti again came to him, and they said to him, "Put more holes across top of branch." Kanati awoke. Nyungwe Junsti were gone. Kanati put more holes across top of branch, and now when he tried, it sounded like this. And Kanati was listening to all the different animals, all our different brothers and sisters throughout the mountains, and he wanted to duplicate the sounds that he was hearing from our brothers and sisters. And as he was sitting there, he was trying and trying. It started to sound like this. Kanati was happy with himself that he was able to duplicate many of the sounds that he was hearing. As he was walking back to the village to be proud, he was playing and it was real happy, and it was sounding like this. And And as Canotti was walking through the village, he happened to look over his shoulder, and he noticed that all the young women of the village were following Canotti as he was walking through the village. And they liked the music that he was playing very much, and they followed him. Canotti also noticed that the young men of the village, they too were following Canotti because they liked the sounds that he was making, but they were not happy that the young women were following him. Also, as he walked through the village, he happened to notice that the elders of the village, they too were following Canotti, and they were very proud and happy of Canotti for what he brought back to the village to share. And they said to Canotti that we were very proud of you, and we will make you chief. And that is how we got Gasa Naka Digo Diske, our flute.
Thank you, Earl. That's Earl Dengus performing and telling the story. And I think people would probably like to know a little bit more about you and your wife. Lee, let me turn to you since we haven't heard your voice yet. Can you explain your backgrounds so that people have a better perspective?
Certainly. My name is Lee Dengus. I'm Haudenosaunee, Seneca. Haudenosaunee it means people of the longhouse. My family are from New York. I've retired from the government, and currently we work with the Pittsburgh Federal Executive Board Native American Heritage Committee doing community projects such as art exhibitions. We do traditional bead work. I do traditional bead work. Earl does traditional Cherokee silver work, do a little bit of carving, some dancing, some storytelling, things like that.
How did you meet?
High school. Yeah.
So it's a long time.
It's a long time. Today's our wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. How many years?
34 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's terrific. I want to talk more about the federal program that you mentioned. Maybe we'll do that a little bit later. Now, Earl, you're Cherokee, you're mentioning.
And
I'm sorry?
Yanwiyah Jalagi.
I see. And are there... Do you have a sense of what the Native American population is in Allegheny County or the region?
Roughly about 10,000. In Pennsylvania in general, we're almost like the hidden population. Pennsylvania was a crossroads for many tribes coming for the steel industry, coming for jobs and things like that. But we're scattered, various tribes. There is no reservation in Pennsylvania. So that makes it kind of unique. So there's not no congregated population. Closest reservation is the Seneca Reservation in Salamanca, New York.
Yeah, that's one reason I asked, because I think a lot of people are surprised to know that there are American Indians living in Pennsylvania. We think of other states. A lot of people think of New York, as you mentioned, or New Mexico or Oklahoma or Arizona, and they don't think of Pennsylvania firsthand. You have a different flute, Earl, that you've picked up. At least I think it's still a flute, right?
Yes.
The first one he played truly did look just like a tree branch. This one, gosh, it looks like a pipe almost, like a 2-inch diameter pipe, except it's wooden. And is there a story to this one as well?
This flute is actually made from red cedar. It's inlaid with turquoise beads, and each flute that I'd be playing today has different sounds because of the thickness of the wood, the amount of holes that are across the top of flute, and the different length of the wood itself. Each produce different sounds, and we get our music from nature. And as you noticed in the story, that we imitate our brothers and sisters primarily for our music.
I noticed this flute, too, has a very decorative, it's not really the top of the flute, but I guess it might be for hanging the flute. There's a head of, it looks like a duck. It's hard, I can't see it perfectly.
Actually, it is for... this is the sound hole of the flute, and this helps it regulate the different pitch of the flute.
Oh, I see. Well, I would love to hear what that sounds like. What would you like to play?
Okay, this will be Adirondack. It's from my new CD.
Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. And could you mention a little bit about the CD that you have out? If you're just joining us, by the way, that's Earl Dingus, who's here with his wife of 34.0 years, their anniversary today. Do you have a number of CDs? Or you mentioned your latest, so you must have more than one.
Currently, there are two.
Yes. And how can people find them?
They can contact our website. It's Echoes, ECHOES, the number 4.com.
That's easy enough to do. Now you have yet another flute that you've picked up, which is sort of a diameter in between the first two. Also very beautiful. Who made, were these flutes made by different people, each of them?
Yes, the first flute is one that I had made. It's made from river cane. It's a traditional Cherokee flute. The other flutes are of various makers, and they have been obtained either by purchase or by trade. And I try to get something that is very different, and because I look for sound, and that's what I focus on the most.
Yeah. What would you like to play next?
this flute is made from white cedar, and this flute has five holes across the top, which will produce different sounds, and you'll have different pitch. The song that I will be doing, this is a true story. It's called Dla Yaga, which means blue jay. And blue jay cries, I wake up, go outside. The sun is shining, beautiful day. I look to the sky. Tawodi, hawk is flying high. I ask hawk to carry my message to creator, that day will be good, and I will have coffee, cornbread, and make silver. That is basically what the song will mean in English. But I'll be doing it in Cherokee for everyone. And I hope they enjoy. True story.
Adonado go hlaska ega hosta. Adonado go hlaska ega hosta. Adonado go hlaska ega hosta. Ne kawe ale se lugadu aya galaska o de la Hunega.
That's Harold Dingus. That was very nice to listen to, and your voice and the flute really go together well with the tone of each as we listen. I want to turn to Lee for a moment. Lee, can you talk a little bit about the jewelry that each of you make and where it can be found, and just the process a bit, what your specialties are?
Okay. I do traditional porcupine quill jewelry work, knife sheaths. I do traditional bead work.
Now, let me stop you for a moment. Mm-hmm. When you say porcupine quill, some people may not know mm-hmm. what that is. I think I know, but okay. Can you describe that more?
You find a porcupine. Traditionally, my family have 8 porcupines, so you can't eat the meat. The hair of the porcupine is the quills, so it's a hard, whitish thing that's thick and it's fibrous, and it's what Native Americans used before we had beads, because you can color them, boil them with herbs, make different colors.
Do they shed from time to time?
You can pluck them out. You hunt the porcupine, you use the meat, and you take the quills, and they can be from an inch to 5 inches long, and you embroider with them and flatten them, take the air out, and sort of embroider and sew with them and make designs with them.
So they're tools rather than something that gets consumed in the
right,
art.
I see. And that's what we used before we had beads, which we received in trade. Native Americans never made beads except out of natural materials, seashells, things like that.
I was going to ask you about misperceptions people have because I think all people that are, you know, aware of misperceptions they have in a it's anything from, you know, I always talk about misperceptions of Pittsburgh public schools because a lot of people think that city schools don't have wonderful things going on, and they do. And people have learned a lot of incorrect, not an incorrect fact, but a lot of wrong information, I think, such as making of beads, as you said.
People have so many misconceptions about Native Americans that we're mostly all out west, live in teepees, were nomads, when in fact we're all over western Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh has a rich history of Native Americans going back to way before the fur trade era. Three Rivers certainly was – many Native American tribes passed through this way because of the trade routes. So we all don't have long, dark hair. We all don't have braids. We're not what you see on TV, and that unfortunately is people's misconceptions of it. They grew up with the John Wayne Hollywood type movies, and they perceive us as that. And
is there a preferred Native American preferred to American Indian?
To most Native Americans, yes. If you're from out west, Indian, the misnomer, because Columbus came over here, thought he was finding India, the misnomer came about. But we like to tell people, find out what nation you are, because I don't identify as Native American. I identify as Haudenosaunee, Seneca, Earl, Cherokee. There are over 500 nations, and we're all unique.
Are there people who may be of Native American heritage that don't know it?
Absolutely. Probably, if you really looked into your history, 80% of the people live in the United States probably have some kind of Native American ancestry, because we were the first people to greet the Europeans when they came over here through intermarriage. But Native Americans, to truly say you are Native American, unfortunately, you have to be born Native American, and then in most cases you have to be an enrolled tribal member. Some people frown upon that. Some people think it's a good thing. It's a form of genocide by the government in a roundabout way.
So that's interesting. I never knew that. Mm-hmm. So if you were – so you could actually be born of Native American parents yet not registered and your lineage would end as a result of, at least as far as the government is concerned.
And that's why it is a form of genocide. Most tribes are matriarchal, which means they follow the mother's bloodline, which is opposed to European people, who most people follow the father's bloodline. So you could be born, and if your mother was not a registered member of the tribe, you could not become a registered member of a tribe. It's a government's convoluted way of trying to take the land back that was granted to us through treaties and various other forms. And therefore, if we don't exist anymore, they don't have to deal with us, which they don't want to deal with us.
That's and you don't hear about these issues ever, of course. And I'm glad, you know, we generally are not a political show of any kind, but these are important issues to think about in terms of dilution of heritage and assimilation or efforts to try to assimilate that aren't always appropriate. And a lot of people are familiar with the Trail of Tears and with other high-profile type incidents. But here's a sort of a quiet decision that is happening in the background that I don't think many people know about. How can people learn more about issues like these?
Well, you can come. We help educate people. We also help people trace their Native American ancestry. We, through Echoes of the Four Directions, where we go into schools, do public speaking programs and other cultural events, coming to our classes, coming to our demonstrations. We help work with school districts to do diversity programs, curriculum development, because there's so much wrong in the history books that are out there for our children, even today.
And that's Echoes of the Four Direction. That's why the website is Echoes 4, and is it
.com.
.com. Echoes, just the numeral 4.
Yes.
.com. If you're just joining us, it's 22 minutes before noon. Thank you for being here today. Lee Dingus, whose voice you just heard, is here with Earl Dingus. I just want to – well, I'd like to talk more about the jewelry and also the federal program that you're working with, as well as the fine art exhibition that happens annually. But Earl's got another flute, so I'm gonna ask Earl to take it away here.
Yes, this flute is a double flute. Some people refer to it as drone, but it has this has six holes across the top, and this is made out of rosewood. And again, this will produce different sounds that many people are not accustomed to hearing. Thank you.
wasn't that interesting, and what a nice surprise. I didn't expect to hear the drone note in the background, and that's really, if you're wondering, that was one flute player, but it's a flute within a flute. It's two flutes in one, and that was a very, very interesting sound, and I imagine you occasionally had one mouthpiece. You were using just one and sometimes using both? Is that how that works?
Yes.
That was really – I don't know that I've ever heard a flute designed like this before.
Yes, it is unique in its design, and I was very fortunate to encounter it and enjoy the sounds that it makes.
Yeah, it's really, really well just beautiful. How did you learn how to play the flute?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we get our music from nature, and I just imitated nature. And that is my education.
Were you very young when you started? Were you a little boy?
I was much younger than I am today.
I just, because, it, I mean, you're clearly at one with the instrument as you play it, and I just wonder as I listen, you know, it fills me with a lot of wonder to watch you and to listen. Now, we started to talk about jewelry, and I kind of got us off on a tangent with the porcupine quills because I was so curious about that, and then we didn't go as further as we should have, I think. I know silver plays a lot. Can you talk about some of the other things that you personally are making?
Earl does a lot of the silver jewelry, though I do some. He uses more non-stereotypical type things. Most people associate Native American jewelry with turquoise and coral and the things that you find out west. He uses a lot more plain silver, seashells like wampum and various other natural materials. All his designs are original. Now, if you wanted to elaborate a little bit more on your jewelry.
We prefer silver because we like to have the silver reflect evil back to the evil person who is looking at you. We keep our silver shiny for that respect.
Can it reflect goodness as well, or is it?
It's mainly to keep you protected.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay, so if you are a victim of prey, or if you are prey, the jewelry will the aggressor will see himself back and neutralize himself, basically.
Exactly.
Okay,
yes.
I've never heard that before.
Yes.
Is that true? A lot of Native American jewelry is silver. Is that the general reason, regardless of tribe?
Most often it's of the Eastern nations, yes.
And did you make the piece? It looks like a turtle.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Do you end up – oh, you've got – there. Earl just moved his arms and made his sleeves roll up, revealing probably four or five bracelets on each arm. Those are great. I like the watch band. That's terrific. Do you actually have to cast molten metal to make silver, or how do you work the metal?
I do melt silver from I go to coin shops that sell ingots of mm-hmm. silver. It is pure silver. Pure silver is too soft to work for jewelry. Therefore, I mix copper in with the silver. When it's melted form, and when you add copper to pure silver, it makes sterling. And then I hammer out the silver and to the size and thickness that I require for whatever it is I might be making.
Now, that's a tricky art that I don't think you would learn by imitating nature. How did you come by that?
It's an old tradition that it was passed down from a distant uncle, and I just wanted to keep part of our tradition alive and wanted to continue on.
Now, we mentioned earlier, I think actually off air we were talking about a fine art exhibition of professional work that's held regionally every year. And I was very surprised to learn of it. I would like to think I'm pretty aware of what's going on in the arts community in our area, but this was new to me. And Lee, can you explain a little bit about how this works and, you know, how folks can maybe attend?
I can. This year, hopefully, we haven't had a site established, but this would be our 20th year of holding it. We invite non-Native and Native Americans to participate in a fine arts exhibition, and it's usually held at a university. Last year, it was at Carlo University. It's been at CMU, IUP, La Roche, various other universities within the Pittsburgh area and into West Virginia as well. But we pick a particular theme. It's held during November, which is National Native American Month. We pick a theme that helps eliminate stereotypes, and the artists have to reflect that theme. So they have to do research, plus they have to be a good artist. And then it's screened and judged, and they receive prize money. It's usually held for the month. Pittsburgh Society of Artists, Pittsburgh Watercolor Society, various other art leagues. We get many of those artists participate. We've had people send work from New York, Maryland, Ohio, West Virginia. So it's very, it's almost international, but it's very widespread, and it was designed to help educate people.
And some artists might not be Native Americans?
Exactly. And that's our outreach to the public to try to, when they do the research, they help understand Native American cultures better, and then they reflect that in their art.
That makes a lot of sense because we were talking before about some of the ways Native Americans have been treated, and often, intentionally or unintentionally, it's sort of a ghettoized effect can happen. So rather than having something very insider or internal or narrow, here you're allowing a whole community of artists to embrace these traditional themes, and they learn more, they're able to express more, and what a great idea.
Yeah.
Does this happen in other regions, that concept? That's actually very
It's our unique concept.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really good. And tell me more about the federal program. Are you both involved in that?
Yes, I'm a retired government employee, and when I was involved, particularly with Department of Veterans Affairs, I had a soft spot for veterans in general, but Native American veterans, because they have faced a lot more issues than veterans coming back from wars in general. But through that, the federal executive board reached out to individuals that wanted to educate the government and the government entities in the area, and then I became involved, Earl became involved, and we started to do community outreach through the federal executive board, primarily education. We send out a little newsletter a couple times a year. We do the art exhibition. We receive no money or funds. Everything's strictly volunteer. We have other federal agencies that have members. Some are Native American, some are not, that volunteer their time to help educate people. So it's a project that we hold very close to, and the organization we feel very close to because of the outreach we do.
That sounds like just a tremendous program. Is it hard? Do you have any children?
We do not.
And my wife and I don't either, as long as we're sharing information like that. Is it hard to keep children following traditions for couples who do have them?
Right. Yes. Many times our children are unfortunately exposed to television. And many times there will be, especially in the past, there were programs primarily in the 50s is when television started to hit reservations. And because of the different Western programs, the Lone Ranger and Tonto and John Wayne movies and things of that nature, Native Americans were being portrayed and by non-Native people, and many times their Native dress was of different cultures, but they were supposed to be of another particular culture, and it was confusing, and people who are on reservations viewing the things that they were seeing on TV that it was giving false impression of actually who they were viewing it, because they would have questions as to, I can remember when I was young saying, you know, I'm Yonwi Ajalagi, and this person is dressed, you know, like a Navajo, and they're supposed to be Cherokee, and, you know, and they're misrepresenting, you know, who should I be dressing like, you know?
Is that still happening today, do you think? You know, people try to make things so realistic. You know, you watch ER and it's supposed to look exactly like an emergency room. Mm-hmm. But I would think that people might not be as concerned about getting it right with respect to Native Americans.
We have interesting things happen to us all the time, and people hold their romantic stereotypes very near and dear to them. A real prime example of is they have an Indian festival in Tyonesta where they have people wearing braids and cotton cloth, and they dress up for the day because this is what they've done for the past 100 years in the town. So people don't want to let go of their past viewpoints of Native Americans.
And these aren't Native Americans.
They are not Native Americans.
So it's people
non-Indian people.
It's almost like a minstrel show.
It is almost like a minstrel show.
We consider it a mockery because of, you know, we're being made fun of. And it's they don't realize that they are hurting a culture.
I was going to say possibly unintentional to some degree, but you have a lot of work to do in terms of education.
Well, we tried to contact the Chamber of Commerce of Tyonesta, and they refused to reply to us.
Hmm.
They are set in their ways, and they believe that's part of their tradition, and that's the way it's going to be.
And that's just one example of hundreds that we see all the time.
Reaching children in schools is certainly a good strategy, I would think, to try to erase some of the stereotypes and some of the misunderstandings. And hopefully you're finding that you're able to do that as you go to school. We're just about out of time. It's really been a pleasure to have both of you here. Is there anything else you'd like to mention that I may have missed as we've talked?
Yes, if anyone is interested in a 3-credit course for their college.
Oh, yes. You're at CCAC, right?
Yes. We teach Native American history and anthropology at CCAC North, Allegheny and South. And we also have online classes. So if anyone needs more credits for their transferable credits, they can contact us.
Terrific. And it's Echoes.
4.com. Yes, the number 4.
Echoes, ECHOES, the numeral 4.com. Mm-hmm. And Lee, anything else to mention?
I think that covers it. We're very involved with Echoes of the Four Directions and the Federal Executive Board. And anybody that ever needs anything, want to help educate themselves or children, we always will be willing to help send information out or talk to them.
Well, thank you both very much for being here. Lee and Earl Dingus, and happy anniversary to you. I don't know what 34 is in those anniversary things, if it's, you know, diamond or sapphire or something. It's probably a combination of things, like a diamond and 5 pieces of paper or something. But
I'd like to leave with a saying. Until we meet again, let us live in peace. Wado.
Thank you.